Hello and welcome to Gamercast episode 277, Games of 2011, 2012. This is the show recorded on the 9th of January, 2012. Right, I'm your host, my name's Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. So this is our, like, first year, new year, especially, sort of show. So first up, what we're going to do is talk about our games of the year, personally. And then we're also going to do the listener's choice, because we had a poll on the website for the last few weeks where people can vote what their game of the year is, and we'll just read those out. And then on the next episode... And then on the next episode, what are you laughing at?
So I can see how many votes Mortal Kombat has. How many does Skyrim have?
Don't look at the poll yet.
Okay.
Don't look at it.
Okay.
Skyrim's got a lot of votes.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about our most anticipated games of this year. And then next episode, we're going to have the listeners' most anticipated games, because that way the poll's open for a week.
Okay.
So they've got time to vote. Why don't Catherine start us off with what she likes?
Or liked. Past tense, as the games are already out. So I think I'm just going to go based off what I've did on the website as well.
Website, eh? And what website would that be?
Gamercast.net. So I think...
Look at the camera.
I'm looking at my list. Out of all the games I've got, the oldest release may have been Child of Eden... So, Child of Eden for Xbox 360, of course, with Kinect. I haven't played it on PS3, although apparently the 3D is amazing. I bought a Kinect for Child of Eden. Well, we got a Kinect.
Hey, I bought the Kinect.
For Child of Eden. And
I bought it when it came out.
And, yeah, so I have Child of Eden. It was given, it's Tetsuya Mizuguchi's newest game.
It's
Q Entertainment. It's amazing. It's a bit short, but then so is Rez. And so are most of his games. So it was kind of expected. But it's an amazing game. Everyone should play it. It's got a lovely soundtrack. Genki Rockets in there are awesome. I've got two kind of smaller releases, which is Tiny Bang Story, which is a kind of little adventure-style game like Sam Rost and Axel and Pixel, but kind of mixed in with the Seeking Soul. So you get all these little puzzles that you have to do in order to save this little world that has had an asteroid hit.
Why? And how do you save this little world?
You solve things.
You solve things.
Which then helps the world, does it? Back together. Yes, it does.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's pretty cheap on Steam. I know it was in the Steam sale, but you can usually buy it on Steam or other digital download websites. I think there is a retail version as well. I think. I may be wrong. Bit Trip Runner. So this came out on WiiWare in 2010. However, it came out on Steam in 2011. Also on Nintendo DS and Nintendo Wii retail copies in America. Over here, it's coming out this year. So Bit Trip Runner, one of my favourite games this year. Paul knows I've spent hours on it swearing at it.
Wait, what's Bit Trip Runner?
You know Bit Trip Runner.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you do. The game I swear at.
I've never seen it before.
Yeah, you have. It's got an awesome soundtrack. It's one of however many Bit Trip games there are now. They are making a sequel... called Runner 2, which will actually be on XBLA. But I absolutely love Bit Trip Runner. I haven't actually finished it. It's really quite hard. You've got to get good reaction times with your fingers. But saying that, I still love it. Then I've got two newer releases, so I've got five games pretty much. Paul probably won't list five games.
I don't need to list five. My game of the year is one game.
Yep.
One game I haven't played.
So, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, amazing. The game released on the Wii, probably one of the only games released on the Wii last year, except for, of course, Xenoblade and a couple of others. It's amazing. It's a Zelda game. It's great. The motion controls work okay. Paul thinks it looks a bit crap. However, that's if you're looking like this close to your TV. If it's at the other side of the room, it looks fine. It's a nice-looking Zelda game. It may even be one of the last stylized ones, from what they've said in interviews and stuff, and how with the next generation of hardware, they perhaps won't need to stylize them anymore, and then it'll just be realistic looking Link and Zelda, which would be really weird. But yeah, so Skyward Sword, absolutely love it. I still haven't finished it. I've pumped about 40-50 hours into it, but I really quite like it. Then finally, Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
WTF.
Of course, sequel to Uncharted 2, new adventure with Nathan and everyone else, in different locations as the other ones, perhaps not on such a larger scale as like in the ice areas with the cogs and stuff like that in number 2, and of course the train areas, but it's still pretty awesome. Sadly, it's only about 8.5 hours long. It's got some really nice bits though, which I won't spoil, but it's really good and I really enjoyed it. It looks lovely and plays really well. So Uncharted 3, and then I'll also just mention Bastion. That was my top downloadable game of the year. Bastion, of course, is XBLA Steam. I keep saying it's a PSN game, but it's not. XBLA and Steam, lovely soundtrack, looks gorgeous, awesome game. You can play it on Chrome now as well. And yeah, that's kind of my games of the year. I'm not doing my 2012 yet, am I?
No, we'll do that afterwards.
Okay. Paul's game of the year?
The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Am I surprised?
However, no. My most played game was actually Terraria.
Yes, it was.
Mortal Kombat was a close second, because I never bought that, but I really, like, throughout the whole year, I really wanted that game.
I know, and you still don't have it.
No, screw it, it's a rubbish beat-em-up.
Have you seen they're doing a complete collection or a complete edition or something?
Lame, I only want the new one, I don't need all the old ones.
What? No, it's a, that. I think it's just all the DLC.
Oh, whoopee-doo now, DLC, a fine game at the end of the day, unless the DLC changed it into a different type of game.
Well, it's still a fighting game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got Sub-Zero. It's cool, man. It's cool. We don't need anyone else. Yeah, so Skyrim, obviously, it's the best game ever, apart from Morrowind, Elite, and a bunch of other games. But yeah, it was the best game this year, in my opinion, even though I haven't really played it at all.
You haven't played as much as you have Oblivion, but
I'm busy.
You played a fair bit.
I'm busy. I don't have time to play it because I need to, like, my brain needs to be empty to play that game. I can't be thinking, oh, I have to go to work in a minute, or oh, I have to do this on a website in a minute, oh, this GamerCast stuff's going on, oh, I got to do this in a minute. I've got to, like, relax and focus on the game. Yeah, fun. Terraria close second for me. Yeah, whoopee-doo-dah. So the listeners voted for the Skyrims as well. Second was Mortal Kombat. So I'll just say Skyrim had 38% of the listeners, or the viewers, or the watchers, or the readers, however they're viewing, whatever it is, had 38% of the votes. Mortal Kombat came in at second place, which was quite surprising, with 26%. Obviously, a lot of Mortal Kombat fans posted on that. So I suspect it might have been like linked in a Mortal Kombat forum or something, and they must have like just bombed it with all their Mortal Kombat things. Then Deus Ex came in at third place, which I thought was a bit odd.
Why?
Deus Ex, man. It came out and then everyone was just like, oh, fun. So yeah, Deus Ex, third place, with 11% of the votes. And then we had Bus and Cable Car Simulator with 8%. Shogun 2, 2%. What? 2%? We need to give that some more votes. And then we had Zelda, Age of Empires, Portal 2, Uncharted, Rage, Dead Island, with just like a few votes between them.
Well, these are all kind of tied, aren't they? They've all got about 3 votes.
Yeah, well, once it gets past Bus and Cable Car Simulator, it just sort of goes into single digits.
Past Age of Empires, then everything's tied with 3 votes each.
Really?
Well, most of them, yeah. 3, and then it starts going out of 2, and then you got 1s.
Star Trek Online got no votes.
No, got 1 vote.
Oh, sorry, I got 1 vote.
But
sorry.
It's a 0%. Child of Eden got a vote, yay!
Child of Eden, yeah.
What didn't get votes? Gears of War 3, Crysis 2, Killzone 3.
So they are now our official worst games of the year with no votes.
Oh, no.
0.
That's a bit harsh.
0. Respects that says Age of Empires kicks ass. So yeah, that is the thing. Now, you, as of this moment right now, you can now vote for your 2012 most anticipated game of the year, and you can, I haven't actually put many things on there yet, and I've tried to stick to things which are coming out this year as opposed to things which might be the year after.
You missed off Bioshock. Not that it's got an official release date anyway.
Screw Bioshock. You can of course add an answer just by clicking add an answer and type whatever you want if whatever you want's not listed, but I'm going to vote right now for StarCraft 2, so that's now in first place with 100% of the votes. Yeah. So my most anticipated game, as I just mentioned, is of course StarCraft. Halo 4 maybe, if we actually see Halo 4.
So I would just say to Oxlow in the chat room, so they have not confirmed GTA 5 is coming out this year. Everyone seems to think it is. There was no release date in that trailer at all.
Wasn't Bioshock 2012 on their trailer?
Bioshock, yeah, the original trailer had 2012 on it. So Bioshock Infinite should hopefully be out this year. GTA 5, who knows? Could be out this year, could be out next year.
Heart of the Swarm. They so what are you saying then, Catherine? Bioshock, are you?
What, my game that I'm looking forward to?
Yes.
So, well, on the website I put Journey, which is a lovely PSN title.
Oh, lovely, isn't it?
Lovely PSN title.
Lovely. Yeah. That's a lame game. You need a game lovely. With some skills.
Hey, you should see their sand physics. It looks nice.
Mm.
Well, Sand Dunes. It's a very nice looking game. It does it better than Uncharted 3 did it. And they were all like, ooh, look at our sand in Uncharted 3.
Uncharted? Oh, come on.
But, I don't know, Bioshock, I'm looking forward to Prey 2. What else? I think I mentioned a few other things in my post. Prey 2, Max Payne 3, Bioshock Infinite, Luigi's Mansion 2, Tomb Raider. Looking forward to Tomb Raider. There are a selection of games coming out I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I don't have a definite. I'm just looking forward to a huge lump of games.
Oh, why?
I'll buy them all anyway. Catherine comes out this year, of course.
Oh, great. The game you already have.
Catherine comes out February 10th. So, yeah. That's kind of our things of 2012. I don't want to just define one game that I'm looking forward to, though. Because I'm just looking forward to most games. I can't help it.
Yeah, fun. So what's going on in Newsland? Microsoft Flight!
No, I put this as the first piece of news so you could then talk about it.
So basically this is a free-to-play flight game. I won't say flight simulator because it looks a bit on the arcade-y
side. They've also removed the word simulator, but I don't know if that's maybe to attract more of an audience.
Isn't it? This is more of a, hey look, you can't just fly all over the world. You're limited to this crappy island called Hawaii. Never heard of it before.
Hawaii, really?
And you get to fly your plane around there.
My plane goes meow.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, this isn't a simulator.
It looks nice from the picture.
It's an arcade game, which might play relatively realistically. But it's games Windows Live, which means 1,000G is up for grabs.
Ooh.
And it's free to play.
3,000G? Really? You sure it's 1,000?
Age of Empires was 1,000.
True, but that was a freemium game.
Yeah, this one I don't have money.
Do you think Flight will be freemium?
Well, I wouldn't surprise if they have add-ons later on.
You can buy these planes.
Now you can buy this island. It's the island next to the island you can fly at.
Aww. You sure it'll be 1,000G though? Maybe it'll be 200.
Oh, whatever. It's free G.
Right, because it's free.
Man?
I'm just saying. Well, you could only have gotten so much G in Age of Empires, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, without buying the premium stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whatever.
I'm
annoyed now.
There's no release date for it announced yet, is there?
Spring.
Nothing, any a bit more?
Spring.
Okay. I'm sorry. Jeez.
I hate all simulators. Does spelt wrong. Anyone like them seriously? Why even talk about them? Is there anyone in this chat apart from me and Windsor? Should be Baxter. Shut up, Baxter.
Are you done talking about Flight then?
Yeah, I'm done, okay, man. Cool. What else did I say?
So
I haven't played it, so I don't know anything about it.
Which is a upcoming survival horror, has been given a release date and a price. So it's slightly different kind of survival horror in a way, because, well, there's the protagonist and Well, there's kind of two protagonists in a way. So there's like an old lady and there's a little kid.
An old lady.
older lady. So there's been like a virus outbreak and everyone's turned into like monstery things. Except for this one woman and this child. This child actually seems to have superpowers and stuff. And you kind of have to spend the game together and use each other to get to certain places and stuff like that. Either way, it looks pretty cool. It's coming out on Wednesday, so very, very soon, because that's the 11th. It's going to be £7.99 on the PSN and 800 Microsoft points on XBLA. Originally, it was only coming out on PSN, but Namco Bandai are nicely releasing it for XBLA, which is really cool. There has been a little uproar in America over the release, well, the price on PSN. So it's coming out for £8 over here. But in America, apparently the price of it is $12.99.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
And people are moaning because it's more than 800 Microsoft points. So they're doing like a poll on the level of interest of what people want to pay for it.
Zero.
On their Facebook page. But the poll does end today, so if you listen to the show live, you'll know you can do this. But it only really matters for Americans, because over here, it's £8. So yeah, Amy looks pretty cool. The main guy heading it up is the guy that did Flashback, or was one of the main guys on, well, lead designer, Paul Cussett, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, worked on Flashback.
Paul Custer, that's a funny name.
Cussett. Yes. Next up, House of Dead news. So Sega have announced that they're releasing House of Dead 3 and House of Dead 4 for PSN. House of Dead 4 previously had not been released on any consoles whatsoever. It was only available in the arcades with Uzis, which really hurt your wrist because you have to reload them by shaking. Like, shake, shake. Of course, House of Dead 3 in the arcades was the cool one with pump action shotgun. That, of course, was released on the original Xbox and only on the original original Xbox. However, as of the... Where's my date? The 7th of February, you'll be able to get House of Dead 3 on PSN. No price has been announced, but it does have move support. They're updating the graphics to be HDified and adding trophies. You can still play it with a controller as well, but I'm sure at least playing with a move controller will be slightly closer to the arcade-style kind of play than using a controller. But House of Dead 4 has no release date. They've said it'll be in the spring. But House of Dead 4 getting a console release is quite a cool thing because they haven't done it yet. So that's cool.
Aye, that's cool, yo. Let's talk about the next thing.
Fate of the World Tipping Point. So we mentioned this briefly. It's just a small piece of news that Lace Member have announced for it. Because it's all about saving the world and global warming and stuff, they're making it as eco-friendly as possible by making all
by
of it...
not giving you an instruction manual.
No, they are giving you an instruction manual
by
but
not being as lame as
the
EA.
Packaging and the manual are printed on paper from a certified responsibly forested tree source,
so like every other
well,
bit
yeah,
of
like,
paper
like
we have in the whole world.
Yeah, like all paper, but they've got certifiers on it to make people happy. I don't know. It's also got an Amaray bio box for the DVD box, which is made of recycled plastic and it's fully recyclable.
Sounds like a load of BS if you ask me.
It's apparently the DVD box it comes in is stable for its entire life, but if it's placed in soil or landfill it biodegrades
and releases what, methane and other toxic substances. Yeah, no. Great.
But yeah, Fate of the World Tipping Point's coming out January 27th. Next up, Blind Girl 2. The first one.
Oh, this is that freaky game where you're like.
Yeah, there's little footsteps and stuff. So, Blind Girl is an Xbox Live indie games game. It came out quite some time ago now, sometime last year, I believe. It may have even been the year before that. The sequel is now coming out, titled Blind Girl 2.
Hey, good name.
It is actually already available. It's 880 Microsoft points, so it's not expensive. That's like under a pound, right?
18 Microsoft points is like 70p or something.
Yeah, 70 odd p. And you can pick it up now. If you like the first one, you probably want to pick this up. It's got 22 new levels, more than 90 puzzle rooms, and additional abilities as well. And it also allows 2-player support.
Fun.
Yes.
Cities in Motion? Cities in Motion? Cities in Motion. U.S. City.
So, in order to continue on with Cities in Motion 2012, they are adding in...
Illegal narcotics, according to the
channel. It was just actually called Cities in Motion, wasn't it? I'm thinking of Cities XL 2012, aren't I? So Cities in Motion came out last year, I believe. And they're now adding an expansion, which is Cities in Motion U.S. Cities, which contains San Francisco and New York. And it allows you, of course, to then, you know, build stuff and...
Stuff, eh?
Transportation systems. And all that kind of stuff. Of course, because it's in San Francisco, hopefully that should mean then that you get things like the cable cars and trolley buses. You can also have things like Golden Gate Bridge and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. It comes out January 17th. So it will be not the 17th over here. It will be the 20th. Because, of course, 17th is the American release date. But yeah, so if you really like Cities in Motion, you should pick this up.
Thanks.
Cities in Motion was good.
Maybe.
Did you play that one or did you play Cities XL?
I didn't play any of them.
Didn't you? I thought I'd let you play one of them.
Yeah, I probably got as far as installing it and thought, I'll stop this. I can't even be bothered to play it.
Next up, Gotham City Imposters has been delayed slightly. So originally it was coming out January 10th/13th. 13th, of course, for the UK. However, it's been pushed back until February point. So Gotham City Imposters, for anyone that doesn't know, is an arcade title, so XBLA, PSN, and games.
Hey man, don't put your drink on my shelf back there.
And games for Windows Live, so it's got achievements. No price point has still been announced for this game. I reckon it'll probably be $1,200, or maybe even $1,600. But of course, that depends on what they choose. But of course, there are games like Battlefield 1943. It's 1943, right, on Xbox Live?
Yeah, can I just say, chat room people, I've just been told that Subcom sucks.
What's Subcom?
I don't know what Subcom is.
But yeah, so.
Is it a new submarine game or something?
Coming out February.
Just says sub now.
No date.
Not a lot, really. I'm doing a show.
But I'm sure that will be announced soon. Next up, there is an XCOM Enemy Unknown being released by Firaxis? Firaxis. So, of course, the people who we know for
Civilization
are now going to be making a new
Hey,
XCOM
Sid
game.
Meier, yo, what's up, bro?
So, hopefully to...
Hey, we should get Sid Meier on the show. Let's phone him up. Hey, dude.
Hi, Sid. How's
what
good?
The hell have you done to this franchise?
Yeah, so, of course, a lot of people were very unhappy with XCOM's gameplay for the consoles. So, of course, they showed some stuff originally the year before last, in 2010, and then they showed some different stuff at E3 this year, showing that they were trying to change it to help out, well, to be more appealing to the fans. Also, in order to do that, TK Games are having Firaxis make a strategy game, which, of course, is what XCOM is at heart. So hopefully that will make the fans a bit happier. In February's Game Informer, they've got a huge kind of thing on it. It's on the cover. And it's coming out at the end of this year for 360, PS3, and PC. So the only issue is there is that it's a strategy game, which is also being made for consoles.
Historically, that has not been a good thing.
Unless the console versions are a port of the PC version.
Yeah, but oftentimes, we develop it simultaneously, and then the PC version ends up like a dumbed-down, low console madness.
Yeah, the PC version has to be a PC version. Next up, EA have announced all the Mass Effect 3 pre-order DLC. So they've announced it for... Was that the 360? I think that was. For the...
Don't talk into the cupboard.
Sorry. I was just looking at the DVD thing. anyway, I'm sorry. Mass Effect 3... Don't do that! Pre-order DLC. So they've got two specific providers for... pre-order stuff, and then one kind of general one. The general one to stores they have not yet announced is the M55 Argus Assault Rifle. This will be from certain stores, and I imagine the other stores that are doing the special pre-order bonuses. Then they've got a game pre-order bonus and an Origin
pre-order
bonus.
Oh my god. Bonus. I'll talk about that later.
Okay, we've got it on the show notes.
I know, that's what I'm talking about later, because
so
otherwise I put it in the show
pre-order it from
now.
Game... Which, if you want the collector's edition, you kind of have to pre-order it from Game, because it's only available for pre-order through Game and GameStation at the moment. And with that, you get the N7 Warfare gear, which gives you an N7 Valkyrie Assault Rifle and the N7 Defender Armor. Valkyrie Assault Rifle has 2 rounds per shot, which are high caliber, and then the armor gives you improved health and shield. The armor also allows you to have an increased ammo capacity, obviously to carry more ammo.
Ammo!
And amplified weapon damage. I'm not sure how armor helps the weapon damage from your guns.
Armor typically will prevent you taking damage.
Well, yeah, but it says amplified weapon damage, as in for you.
Well, in that case, it would just have buffs on it, so +1 attack power, or
yeah.
+10,500 agility.
And then, if you pre-order it through EA Origins service, you can get the AT-12 Raider shotgun, which is, of course, a good shotgun with a large spread.
Apparently.
And also has a quick kind of reshot time. So, soon after making the first shot, you can do another. Because, of course, shotguns are a slow kind of weapon.
Hey, man, it depends.
It depends on the shotgun. Of course, because that's Origin, that's probably a PC-exclusive kind of weapon. Unless they then release it for Munez later on. But they're the only pre-order DLC stuff. Usually, of course, some games do, like, 6-7 different pre-order bonuses through every single store available. And that's all that they've got going for Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
They may have more in America, but over in the UK, EA seems to focus more on game. Like Star Wars Old Republic Collection was a game exclusive. A few other things like that. And as Mr. Sith Lord 58 has said, hopefully they will be downloaded voice DLC later. Because not everyone, of course, can afford to pre-order a game and then buy it. But I'm sure they will probably do that. Next up, Sonic 4 news. Episode 2 has been announced.
Yay!
Episode 1 did okay. Apparently it was very successful, but a lot of people didn't like certain bits of it. So in order to make Episode 2 better, Sega have said that they've improved Episode 2 over Episode 1 from what the fans have said.
Basically just make it like Sonic 2.
Well, they've reworked the physics engine, because apparently the physics were a bit funny on Sonic, and they've created new character animations to rectify this as well. If you ask me, he seemed a little slow in Sonic 4, especially after playing Generations. You play Generations and it's super speedy fast, and you play Sonic 4 and it's not as fast, but then I don't mind it because then my eyes can catch up with it.
Yeah, but Sonic 1 and 2 weren't super fast.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, the super fastness is a new invention on him.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. But yeah, so in the trailer you get to see, well, Tails is Tails, so it means, of course, Tails will be in it. In what capacity, we're not sure, whether that means playable character, two-player stuff, or him helping you, so like floating down and picking you up like he did in Sonic 2. Of course, it's coming out on everything.
Stupid
like
kid.
The previous one, come out XBLA, PSN, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. No prices or dates have been announced as of yet.
But expect it to be expensive.
Well, yeah, I imagine it'll be, what, 1,200?
1,200 points, that's what the last one was.
I didn't mind Sonic. Because I recently bought though. Sonic 4. Sonic Episode... No, Sonic... Yeah, it's just Sonic 4. Episode 1. I bought it because it was cheap in the Christmas stuff on Xbox Live. And it's actually really quite good. I quite enjoyed it. I played the bonus levels and enjoyed that quite a bit. And I kind of kept playing.
Love Film news now.
Yes.
So Love Film is on Xbox like it has been for the last month.
Yes.
Why are we talking about it again?
So, Love Film have stricken...
Negotiated a deal with the BBC.
With the BBC and ITV to add their...
ITV, really?
Yeah. I love
really?
This.
They suck. They suck even more than Foulclaw.
Love Film, an Amazon company, has partnered with ITV to enable its members to instantly watch TV titles from the UK's largest commercial broadcaster.
Windsor tries to correct you by saying, "The first struck a deal." Oh, let's put that on the video feed. That's funny. The struck a deal.
I would think
sounds like a crocodile species or something. The struck a deal.
So of course, because they've said the largest commercial broadcaster, which the BBC is not a commercial broadcaster, would you say?
It's public broadcast.
Yeah. So I'd say Channel 4 is the bigger commercial broadcaster over ITV, isn't it?
Sky is the biggest.
True.
No one watches ITV.
No, I know.
Sky gets subscription money.
But yeah, so they're going to have...
Anyway, Channel 4 is publicly owned as well.
Yeah, so they're going to have archives of BBC shows and ITV shows available on Love Film. That is on the website and on Xbox 360, PS3 and all their other kind of formats that they've got the streaming up on. They haven't said whether they'll all be like free if you've got a subscription, because of course some things on Love Film you have to pay for. So like there's some films you have to pay £2 to watch or stream, even though you already pay for the subscription.
What a rip-off, man.
They've said things like Doctor Who, Life on Mars, Spooks, Whitechapel. I haven't watched Whitechapel.
God.
Planet Earth's going to be on there as well. So I guess maybe all of Mr. Attenborough's stuff will be on there, which would be quite cool. Because that'd be, what, is it in HD? Does Love Film do HD? I'm not sure if it does. And then, of course, with ITV, they've said it's going to have things like Marchlands, Above Suspicion, Prime Suspect, Inspector Morse, Cold Feet, and Secret Diary of a Call Girl. As well as this, also, with the piece of news we're going to talk about next, Love Film have lowered their minimum price subscription to $4.99.
What, across the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that does not include unlimited streaming. Their base package was $5.99. It's now gone down to $4.99, but that has no streaming, I believe. Oh, or maybe 3 hours of streaming a month. Which is a film. Not even, well, you could say maybe 2 films. Or a little bit more or less. Anyway, next thing.
Yeah, the next thing, Netflix. Netflix have obviously got one up on Love Film, because you can watch Hey Arnold on it.
Yeah, it's got TV shows.
Hey Arnold is on Netflix.
I was going to sign up for a trial, but I decided...
Hey Arnold, we could have a whole night of watching Hey Arnold.
Great.
It is great. Let's do it.
But yes,
as
I just mentioned with Love
Film... Why are we doing this?
They've lowered
we could
their
be watching Hey Arnold.
They've lowered their subscription cost by £1 to compete with Netflix, which costs $5.99 for 1 month. You can browse their titles on their website, although it looks like they've got no back catalogue, really, or any catalogue whatsoever, if you look on the website. But I'm hoping that's just like a kind of scaled down version of what they actually have. But yeah, so it's available on Xbox Live now. It's on PS3 as well.
PS3?
And the Wii Shop channel. So it's available on most things now. Of course, it's taken Netflix quite some time to come out over in the UK. And yeah, they haven't said if it... Well, I doubt it has anywhere near as much as what they have in America on their stuff.
No, of course, because they have to renegotiate all the stuff.
But with Netflix, unlike with Love Film, you do get unlimited streaming for their base $5.99 package, because they don't send out discs. You just pay $5.99 and you get unlimited streaming for a whole month. Whereas with Love Film, you have to pay... You're not even drinking anything. You have to pay $9.99 for unlimited streaming, unless you happen to get the $4.99 deal when the 360 launched Love Film. What the hell are you doing?
I've got my props. You know, okay. I need to look professional. I've got my prop.
But of course, with Love Film, which they have the upper hand of Netflix, is if you decide
Love
you want
Film
to
have... Look, can I just quickly interject this? Love Film have the advantage because it's owned by Amazon, and Amazon is a competent company.
Whereas, of course, Love Film were originally going a bit downhill, but then Amazon bought them, which is obviously what perked them up a bit. But yeah, the good thing with Love Film is if you ever want to cancel your subscription, you have to call them, and generally then they offer you like 3 months for free or 6 months for free or...
Yeah, but that's annoying.
3 months half price. Well, yeah, it means you don't cancel it, but it means you get stuff either for free. Like, usually they'll offer you like half price first, and then you'll be like, nah, I just want to cancel it, and they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll give you a free month or something like that.
How about a year for
free? To persuade you. But with Netflix, apparently it's really easy to cancel it, and you can do it all online, unlike Love Film.
Wait, didn't you say we can do Love Film at certain hours?
You can, yeah. But, like, on their website, you've got to answer, like, 10 or 15 questions to cancel
your subscription. Wow, they ask you to answer a load of questions. Mm. Obviously, it's just for their own...
Well, yeah, it's for their kind of...
So they know what's up with it. So you could say that WoW's boring.
Oh, yeah.
Or WoW sucks, or my account was hacked.
Oh, but as I was saying, though, the advantage is to cancel on the phone, because then they offer you free stuff.
Yeah, but if you want to cancel, then it's not an advantage, it's a hassle.
Well, no, it's a hassle. So they have at least changed it, because you only used to be able to cancel it online. Next up, a new Indie Royale bundle. You finished talking about Netflix, yeah?
Yeah.
You said your Hey Arnold thing, so you're happy. Did I see that Pingu's on there as well? Is that what you said?
Well, we don't want to watch that rubbish.
What else did you say is available on it?
I don't care.
Oh.
And it's not open anymore.
But it was MSN.
No, it was Facebook.
No, it wasn't. It was MSN Facebook.
It's Facebook.
There was a link on there.
She's gone.
Hey Arnold, Pingu, Rugrats. Aww. Where'd it go? Aww.
I told you it'd disappear.
Hey Arnold, Pingu, Rugrats, SpongeBob, Spider-Man, X-Men. All streaming. And that's not even starting on the films. As a
hey
friend of
Paul. Arnold.
Okay, hey Arnold.
So yeah, thank you, friend of me. Yeah.
Friend of Paul. Yes, a new Indie Royale bundle has come up, which is the New Year's bundle. So it's got a few games with it. I suppose they're alright.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there. Did you drink whatever it was?
There was a wasp or something in there.
A wasp. So it's got in it Nuclear Dawn, which is a game that has RTS, FPS.
Go on.
And it's online. Max and the Magic Marker, Fractal, and Super Crossfire. Last time I saw it was £2.73, which you have to pay, so not that much.
Nah, pass.
Max the Magic Marker also has the MP3 of the soundtrack with it. Fractal also has the same, as does Super Crossfire, and they'll be adding more.
Oh, really? That's
if
that's
you
interesting
pay more, of course.
That's cool, that is. What else do we do?
No Humble Indie Bundle at the moment, but there is the Indie Royale one open at the moment.
Really is.
Next up, MTM Expo News. They have announced the new dates for their shows. So there's Midlands. I don't really care about any of them other than London, but I'll still say them otherwise. Midlands MTM is happening on the 18th.
Feels so good.
On the 18th of February, which is in the International Centre, Telford. Memorabilia Birmingham is at the NEC from the 31st of March to the 1st of April. Also, Birmingham Comic Con is the 31st of March to the 1st of April. MCM Expo London, 25th to the 27th of May. So that's the big MCM Expo London thingamajig, which I always go to.
In other news, I am Skyrim Man!
then, hey, MCM Expo Manchester, 21st of July. Expo London in October is the 26th to 28th. Memorabilia London 27th 28th, so that will happen alongside MCM Expo, and Memorabilia Birmingham 24th 25th of November. No kind of game announcements have been done for what are you doing for London MCM Expo.
I'm thinking how
all.
I can get past you, run downstairs, grab the Skyrim hat and put the Skyrim hat on.
No, you could do that next show. Well, maybe you should keep it in your room.
Maybe I should keep it downstairs on the coffee table in the way.
Hopefully there'll be a game announcement soon, because I imagine they should have some cool stuff on show. Finally, actually, I've got another show note. Why isn't that in there? So Adam's Venture 3.
Adam's Venture 3
has been announced, which is pretty cool. 2012. I really quite liked Adam's Adventure 2. Of course, it's a weird game because there's no violence in it, because it's a non-violent, kind of slightly religious game. But I quite enjoyed it because it's actually quite a nice little point-and-click adventure game with really nice graphics, because it's done in the Unreal Engine. They really take advantage of the lighting and the character models and the environments. And it's just a really nice little game. The third one's coming out March this year. They haven't said when. But it's called Adam's Adventures 3 Revelations. And I look forward to the release of it, because I will definitely be playing it. It'll probably be quite short, similar to the second one. But with how good the second one was over the first one, I imagine it'll be just as good, or even better. And then finally, one last show note. There's been some kind of rumours, I'll put it in there, for E3 2012 stuff. So they've heard it on MTV and a few other places that their third parties have been saying that apparently the 360 successor and PS3 follow-up will be shown at E3 this year.
So wait, isn't that what I've been saying for the last two or three years?
But if you've been saying it for the last two or three years, then you've been saying the wrong year. Or have you been saying for the last two or three years they'll be shown at 2012?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's also presumptions, which all of this is really, that the Wii U details will also be revealed in June.
What do you mean the details about it?
Like the prices and the launch. If this does actually happen, though, as this the article said, it will be the first time in the show's 17-year history that all three formats will be directly announced and then comparable between each other.
Well, to be fair,
if they all do get announced, though,
the Wii was announced last year.
I don't know. Do you think they will announce them all? Because then that means they'll have to have games playable on them. I don't know.
No.
Or do you think if we look back, show off the consoles?
If we look back at previous years at E3, you have a first announcement of the console. This is the kind of stuff it can do. Here are some tech demos. And then the year after, they show you the games.
Oh, okay. But then it was kind of different with the Wii U, wasn't it? Because they actually had stuff you could play.
That's because it was a Wii, basically. Mm. Only more powerful with a thing that attaches to it with a wireless...
Well, if it is true, and they do actually show all these consoles, I'll be happy. I think that'd be cool. That is, of course, if I go to E3. It'd be nice for GamerCast to go again.
You ain't going anywhere, lady. You're staying here.
Oh. But yeah, so hopefully this will happen and they will...
So you've definitely added that to the show? Cause it's
I have, yeah. But yeah, from MCV's third-party publishing sources, they claim that there's been signals to partners that this will happen.
Well, that's what I've been saying. 2012 announcement for a release in 2013.
Well, 360 came out, what, 2006?
360 came out in 2005.
Yeah. Would you a new one? Jeez, would you a new one?
Well, we've had...
Seven years.
The thing is, yeah, it's not so much you'd do a new one, because the current one's been updated all the time.
Oh, yeah, the current one's really good still.
Unlike the PS3, which updates and bricks and stuff. You know, the Xbox has had three major dashboard revisions in that time.
It's time for...
Name...
That...
GamerCast.
Yeah, so 3 weeks ago, you would have heard this.
Fire a somersault!
Bunch of people guessed it was Star Fox. Charlotte correctly guessed it was Star Fox N64, which is what I used for the
that's
recording.
Lilac Wars.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay, well, just you put...
Off. Well, I don't know how to spell Lylat.
L-Y-A-T.
One T.
L-Y. Lylat. Okay.
Man. Oh, Baxter claims he said it was the N64 version. So yeah, GZ to Charlotte and Baxter, apparently, although I don't think he did actually guess that, because it would be in my notes if he had guessed that. Actually, let's just quickly check the podcast episode to see if that's actually where he actually guessed it, and I'm actually...
You know, though, that the Star Fox 3DS game is a remake
of the
N64.
Yeah, but the recording I took was from the N64.
Fine.
Because you were like, oh, it's Star Fox 3D.
Fine.
If you want to call it Star Fox 3D, that's 3DS.
In it.
This week, something a little bit different, as you may have guessed from the segment title. Basically, I'm going to play 12 clips from last year's episodes of GamerCast, and you have to tell me in order what episodes they're from.
What?
It's really good, it is.
Really?
It's really fantastic, it is.
Really?
I spent an hour doing this. I had to decide which were the most funny bits. 2011.
So I just put what order they come in.
You have to name what episodes they are from.
How am I supposed to know what episode it is?
You have to name them.
I don't know the episode names or when the numbers were.
Well, that's your little project, didn't it?
Oh my god. And you expect me to guess on this show?
Go!
Go? Oh, is it just that?
Go, come on.
It's just that one. I thought you were playing a few.
Yeah, they're all different episodes. You have to name what episodes each one of those clips is from in an order. So, like, 261, 263, 264, 265.
I don't know what the numbers are.
It's not totally impossible. Every single 2011 I did last year
is distinctly unique. That's episode 230. Wait, what?
There are 12 episodes.
That's... Oh, my God. Jeez. I don't know that.
Well, why not?
As Charlotte said, totally impossible.
It's not. If you listen to the episodes, yeah, every 2011 I said, throughout last year is distinct and unique. It's not going to be difficult to do.
Yeah, but I can't do it on this show, can I?
No, you don't have to do it now. You've got until next week to guess,
haven't you?
Unless
I just want strings and numbers off.
So yeah, that is your mission.
Oh my god. It's clever.
It is clever. That's what I was saying. Clever. I'm so
I'll
funny.
I'll give you that. Oh, okay, yeah, you said I'm so funny. Ah. Okay,
that's what I said to her on Steam earlier today. That's what I was doing at the time.
I wondered why you said that to me, and now I know.
Yeah. Of course, for episode 300, we're actually going to need listener clips that listeners need to submit in and give to me, and then we just guess the single episode it's from. So that's a heads up. If anyone, while they're digging through all the episodes, listening to the intros, if they come across any funny bits, send them to me, because I need them for our 300th episode, which is in like 20 weeks' time. So I'm just getting some heads up advance on that.
Oh, wow, it's almost 20.
So yeah, feedback at GamerCast.net. Leave your comment on the blog, GamerCast.net. Put it on this episode. And yeah.
New releases this week.
We have a massive number of future titles coming out, such as Crushed, spelt wrong.
Well, yeah, so you can call it Crushed 3D or Crushed. So Crush originally came out on the PSP.
It
was kind of the inspiration, I believe, for Paper Mario. Unless Paper Mario came first, but... Well, the Super Paper Mario on the Wii.
I don't know what that is.
You know, the 2D Mario game on the Wii that lets you go 2D and 3D? So Crush on the PSP let you do this. It was a game made by a small independent studio / students, I believe. I could be totally wrong about this. But Sega picked it up. I think Sega originally released it as well. And they're re-releasing it for the 3DS with improved graphics and added in little cutscenes and stuff. And, yeah, so it's the same game. Of course, it'll work a bit differently because you've got the depth of the 3D as well. So, obviously, the transitions between 2D and 3D will be a little bit nicer than they were on the original PSP version. But, yeah, so that's the only release, really, for this week. It's a puzzle game. So... anyone who likes puzzle games on 3DS, well, on DSs, but you'll have to have a 3DS, which is, of course, a large population of the DS handheld market, because puzzle games are, of course, good for if you're on a train, on a plane, on a bus, on a train...
on a plane and a boat.
A boat or a car.
As long as you're not
as
driving.
Long as you're a passenger.
Early in the bleed. I'm trying to... Look, I've got my N64 out because this is hip high tech this week. I'm plugging it into my thing and I'm like, oh, shit.
But yeah, so that's the only release for this week. I think it's going to be a standard price
Planes,
release.
Trains and automobiles.
So yeah, that's the only release for this week. There was going to be another game, but it got a different release date announced. So, of course, it is January. People have only started coming back after Christmas, so there's not a huge amount of games being released right now.
Nope.
No, most games will be February, March time, but there will be a few more releases next week, as opposed to this week, which has one.
Yay, fun.
Yay.
So, yeah. Is that it?
That is it.
Good.